Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend, at Gordon G. Chang. And we turn to the Chinese economy. There is a headline in CNBC that is surprising. U.S.-China sign agreement to cooperate on financial stability. There's irony in this, and we welcome Jonathan Ward of the Hudson Institute, most recently the author of the book Decisive Decade, about the strained relationship between Washington and Beijing heretofore. Jonathan, a very good day to you. I come to this promising headline that U.S. and China are agreeing on anything, but to cooperate on financial stability seems, well, the proverb is a bridge too far. I read a summary from Bloomberg. The latest economic data aren't looking good for China. Factory activity contracted for a fourth straight month. Home sales data showed that a slump in residential properties continues. Manufacturing is showing weakness. The Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index flashed warning signs. These economic headwinds, says Bloomberg, present a tough hurdle for investors betting on a sustainable recovery for equities. Now, that all sounds like there is some plan in place to recover from these holes in the ground. Jonathan, do you see a plan that is working in some fashion other than this idea that there's been an agreement signed between the U.S. and China? Good day to you, Jonathan.
Good day, John. Good day, Gordon. Well, look, I think what we have here is, in my mind, a very misguided attempt to do confidence-building measures with Beijing. I mean, I think this is in keeping with the Biden administration sending pretty much the entire cabinet over to Beijing in order to stabilize the relationship, and here creating this U.S.-China financial working group, which has apparently, now signed documents that are about coordinating on financial stability in the global economy. I mean, in my view, we do not want to stabilize the People's Republic of China. I mean, this is America's primary strategic enemy. It is exporting fentanyl precursors into the United States, which have now killed 500,000 Americans. It's supporting Putin's invasion of Ukraine. It's supporting the Iranian mullahs, and it's preparing for conflict in the U.S., in the Pacific with America, having gone through now the largest military buildup since the Second World War. So their weaknesses today at present are in their macroeconomic picture. I mean, they have housing softness here. I mean, they have really far too little consumer demand. Their exports is their leading sector, and yet the world is going to put more tariffs up on this. And you know what that means is that ultimately it could create serious financial stability and instability. And the idea that we would go in and prop up our main enemy when they have their one area of main weakness. And by the way, anyone who really knows Chinese strategy knows that their economic power is at the center of their idea of geopolitical competition with the United States. So, you know, if we're going to focus on financial intelligence gathering, that's one thing. But to actually prop up the main enemy as they go through economic difficulties, and as we have this real opportunity to never let them catch up economically, we should be focused on making sure that they never do, and not doing anything to the contrary, in my view.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, let's put aside the issue of whether we could actually prop China up. The question is, why would the Biden administration think it's a good idea to stabilize our Chinese enemy?
Look, I think Janet Yellen's Treasury has been extremely misguided. I mean, we've seen her from the beginning, I think, demonstrating a very poor understanding of the geopolitical realities here. I mean, only very recently has she started to express that she understands how Chinese subsidies and actual economic practices work. But for a long time, she was the one saying, look, we want to have a stable economic relationship with China. We will not decouple from China. It's in our interest to continue to maintain strong economic ties. So it shows that many of the minds here, I think, are back in this idea of engage but hedge, continue to have an economic relationship with the PRC while at the same time building up the alliances. And, you know, in my mind, they're focusing way too little on the defense aspects of the Pacific. But those two things govern American strategy towards China for decades. The idea that we're going to have economic, entanglement and at the same time a defensive edge. But the problem with that is you lose the defensive edge as they grow economically, as they invest in strategic industries, as they invest in critical technology. So we have lost across the board many, many aspects of the military edge. And I don't think that position is changing in our favor. So you still have these sort of dinosaurs that want to, that think it makes sense to engage with the main enemy as they prepare for war with us. And that's just, that to me is insane.
The puzzle here, the word agreement, but stability. Gordon, what would stability look like in China? I'm unaware what the ambition is. The list that Bloomberg runs off is generous, that anybody would want to get near their stock market. So what is stability for the Chinese communists?
Well, stability would be the absence of crisis. And as Jonathan points out, and as it's clear from what you've read, China is heading to a crisis because that description actually, I think, shows a better picture of China than is actually going on, because we are seeing indicators over the last 3 or 4 weeks that show that the downward momentum is accelerating, especially in the consumption area. And it's actually quite frightening. So the answer to your question is stability is what we see today, not what's going to happen in the very near future.
Jonathan, I enjoyed a headline yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. Stocks tumble, oil declines. I'm thinking, what? Wait a minute. That's not supposed to happen. And then it became clear the oil is attached to China. Copper is attached to China. And is it a bad thing that China's not able to use the gasoline and copper it did before when it was dominating the conversation? Is that a bad thing for us? It describes facts as opposed to this. What do we call it? The generous subsidies issued by the Chinese state to their so-called world scale industries. So the fact that the industries are showing candor now, isn't that a good thing for the markets? It's no longer false advertising?
Well, John, I mean, China's, infrastructure buildup over the past, let's call it 30 years, did drive commodity markets. It was a major factor in energy markets. I mean, their energy consumption is still very high. I mean, they're increasing, I think, massively the regasification terminals for LNG, for example, and the copper markets and things like that have always, in recent decades, been driven by Chinese infrastructure, at least in a large part. So that was coming to an end anyway. I mean, by the time you are done with the world of 10% or 8% growth in the China market, you no longer have those drivers of some commodities. But I think what we really have to, I mean, I think the world can absorb that. I mean, if you start to have the rise of India and other developing nations, there will be new demand for metals. And
if you have 1 minute, Jonathan, 1 minute.
Sure. And if you have a U.S. reindustrialization, I mean, there's going to be some balancing there, but it's very different from the era we were in through the 10% growth years of China. And I think what we should be concerned about now is their approach to strategic industries. Everything that's laid out and made in China 2025, that's all the kind of thing that they can't finance that if they go through real macroeconomic crises at home. And we should not, I think, be providing any stability for that. We should let the macroeconomic problems play out and watch that undermine their grand strategy. And the U.S. can provide resiliency for its own economy, for our allies, and for the global economy through our own manufacturing revitalization, the integration of USMCA, supply chain security. I mean, there are a lot of things we have to invest into.
Jonathan Ward, Hudson Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.